Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back here on Youth Sports Now, and this, is, of course, is the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training session. Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
Doing great, Greg. How's it going?
Great, thanks. Of course, Mike Naparella from Peak Performance is with us as usual. And Mike, you know, you've mentioned that your wife Karen, who's also a physical therapist at Peak Performance, that you're working with a volleyball program, a club that's doing sports training. Tell me a little bit about that and how that's working.
Well, it's going great. We just started a few weeks ago. Paradigm is one of the girls volleyball club team programs that's in the Rochester area. It's been a really successful program, and CJ Denk, who is Mercy's head coach, you know, they went to state this year and they lost in the final, but they've been a really successful volleyball program. He's actually the head of the club, and so my daughter's in that club. She's playing club volleyball for them, Amanda, on the 17th team, and we just got to talking during the summer. And, you know, they were looking for proposals for training programs, and so we put something together and talked a bit more and sort of hit it off. And so we just started a few weeks ago with the girls, and it's going really well.
So, you know, help me out here because, you know, so many times we talk about hockey clubs or we talk about, various types of sports, club sports. And now here you've got a volleyball club. So what does that mean in terms of how many teams you work with, and then what sort of ages are these girls?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the Paradigm's program is similar to many in that their group starts with the girls that we're training, at least. The team starts with 14, girls who are in the 14-year age bracket, and then there's 15, 16, 17s, and 18s. So there's five teams that we work with, and each of those teams has 10 girls on it. So it's a group of about 50 girls in total.
Wow, so you've got 50 girls. So the question then that I've got to ask is, where do you train them? Do you do this at Peak Performance or at their practices or both? I mean, the facility is certainly, large enough and a fantastic facility if you haven't been to Peak Performance. But where do you get to do this, and how do you do it?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of those programs will have kids come in that do training. We'll have them come into their site and do it. What we're doing this year with Paradigm is we're actually going on site to them, and so we're right at Hot Shots. That's where their practices are, and so we're there Monday and Thursday nights, and we do the training right there with them. There's pluses and minuses to whatever venue option you pick. You know, certainly one of the advantages of doing it at a practice is that, well, all the girls are right there. So it makes things much more convenient for the family. You have, you know, full attendance for the training. You know, the challenge with doing it on the outside, if kids, a larger group like this, were to come to our facility, the disadvantage is now they've got to find two extra days a week. Now you've got transportation. And some of these kids are coming from, you know, for example, Brockport. And they're coming, you know, twice a week to do their club program. But now if we said you've got two more nights a week, you've got to train, now that makes life a little bit more difficult. So for now, we've chosen to do the primary bulk of the training, at least. The majority will be done at Hot Shots there on location. So, you know, the disadvantage is obviously if we can get kids to come in our facility, you know, we've got a wide array of varying sizes of dumbbells and kettlebells and medicine balls and all that sort of stuff. A lot of the equipment we can transfer over there, hurdles and things like that, that we can do training with large groups. But really to do strength training and power training, weight training, is a little bit different of an animal with a larger group like that. But, most of these kids aren't going to have access to this sort of training, you know, if they weren't in a formal program like this. So there's really high value in it, and they're learning all kinds of things they never did before.
So, Mike, you know, we've talked in the past about training, and it occurs to me that I've never really asked you this question, so I'm going to fire away right now. You know, overall, in any type of sport, how long should you train these athletes, and specifically with the girls' volleyball and the various ages, how long do you train them each week?
Well, the answer to the second part is a really quick one. The answer to the first part could be several shows. So let's start with the second easy part, okay?
I'm never going to make it easy for you. Come on.
What we do with Paradigm's Club right now is that they've actually taken a 30-minute block of their practice time, and dedicated it to training. So CJ feels so importantly about what's happening with the girls physically that not only are they getting the technique coaching from their volleyball expert coaches, and tactical training in terms of how to, what are the tactics and the mindsets and the schemes that we're going to use offensively and defensively, you know, individually and as a team, to play the game of volleyball, but let's physically get them prepared as well and not neglect that. And so often kids spend a lot of time playing sports, but, you know, we know, we've talked about this, Greg, but sometimes coaches forget that you're dealing with an athlete who is a physical body. It's not just an athlete that is trying to develop skills. You know, I need to learn how to hit the ball better or see the tennis ball coming at me differently to figure out what sort of shot I'm trying to set up for or whatever it may be, run my route better, you know, make my cut to get open better. But physically, an athlete that's restricted in mobility, has bad balance, is poorly coordinated, isn't quick, isn't agile, can't jump very high, is going to struggle with all that skill development. So, you know, we really respect and love that CJ has a mindset of developing an athlete, taking these girls and helping them develop athletically and not just playing more volleyball. He could have taken that time and spent 30 more minutes playing volleyball. And as a coach, most coaches would eat up that opportunity twice a week to have another 30 minutes. But he felt this was of such high value that he's putting in as part of their program directly right there. So we are doing either the first 30 minutes of their practice or the last 30 minutes of their practice. So that there's three teams at one session and then two teams at another, and they flip-flop. So we've got one group of 30, and then we have another group of 20, and it just flip-flops. Now, the first part of your question is an awesome question. How much do you train? And I think that is sort of a Pandora's box, sort of a question and an answer. But I guess I would just say it this way. And this is not quite a cop-out, but it sort of is. It depends. And what it really depends on is what the athlete's looking for, what their needs are, but also what kind of time they have. Certainly there's expenses involved with training, so if someone wants to be super thorough, that's more time with a trainer, that's going to cost more money. It's also more time required in travel. So, you know, ideally, let's take a college athlete, for example. When they get on campus, there's things they're doing probably 6 days a week, even in the off season, between weightlifting, plyometrics and agility, general conditioning, metabolic conditioning. So you could have kids doing things anywhere from 1 or 2 days a week. For this, for example, a half hour, what we would term more of a sports conditioning program. It's not optimal for strength and power development, because we don't have all the weights and all the equipment there. But again, these girls are doing things that they haven't really had access to or done before. And so there's great advantages and development changes they can see from that. But it's a limited scope. Now, if you get down and you come into my clinic and we get, let's say, a smaller group of six kids, well, now you might be in a program that's maybe an hour and 15, and we're doing plyometrics and agility and speed work and doing, you know, functional weight training drills, strength and power development things that they can work on. And they may be given metabolic conditioning and training things to do on the side as well. So when we do those sort of programs here, Greg, they tend to be 2 days a week. Part of that's just out of practicality. You know, you take a high school kid, they've got classes all day long. They've got sports that they're playing. They've got skill development sessions they're trying to go to. And we're throwing in training. We don't want to be a part of the overtraining of athletes that we've talked about on the show so often. So there's a balance to be had, you know. But ideally, it'd be great to see kids being able to do some physical development things at least 2 days a week. But if we could, there's even 3 to 5 days a week, let's say, of things they could be doing. But that demands a lot of time on their part and commitment, and that's difficult with all the things they have going on in their lives right now. So I think for the girls and what they're doing, the 2 days a week is going to be a good start. And then there's going to be a certain number of girls who want to take it a little further, who are a little bit more dedicated or a little bit more committed to taking it to the next level and really optimizing their chances in college or their performance. And for those kids, those sort of two-time-a-week, 30-minute sport conditioning things aren't quite enough. They're going to want to take it to the next level, and that's when we bring them into the clinic.
So, Mike, you know, with the training, the sports training that you're doing at Peak Performance, I can assume that somewhere in there, in this training, is a little bit of that word. Now, listen up, because I'm once again showing how well I listen to you, that I'm sure there's some sort of functionality and biomechanical training that takes place when you train these volleyball players or, in fact, any athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, for us, the very first thing that we look at in terms of trying to decide what to do with them is we have to step back and understand what sort of key issues are that keep them off the court or off the field. I think, you know, sports performance training and working out and fitness training, all those things can be sort of developed in this era of CrossFit and P90X and circuit training and insanity and all these different things that people see on the internet or on the infomercials and that sort of thing. There's lots of creative ways to exercise now. And, you know, we certainly, you know, have heard of high school teams, for example, taking one of those sort of programs and just following it. And it's so different than the things that most of them have done. It can be fun for a period of time, and it's interesting, and it's motivational, but it's very limited because it really wasn't designed for their particular sport, and certainly no one looked at those kids for their own needs. So really what we want to do is when we took this program on, Greg, is we step back, talk to CJ a bit. We certainly understand the game of volleyball and the type of things we see in the clinic. Our very first concern is what keeps these kids off the court. You can't go into sports performance level of function if you're already dealing with kids who aren't healthy and are injured. And so there's some commonalities that tend to happen in a sport like volleyball where, you know, we tend to see things like, let's say, shoulder tendonitises, strains, rotator cuff strains, and then things like shoulder instability that we've talked about before. So those things have origins. You know, we look at, is there someplace tight in the body? Is there an imbalance? And in the shoulder, for example, as we said before, many of those things have to do with how the rib cage, their trunk, and their shoulder blade move, and that oftentimes is a source of that shoulder motion. Not just merely the idea that they overuse their shoulder a lot, but that the shoulder really got too much of that swinging at the shoulder and rotator cuff when it should have been absorbed by the shoulder blade or the trunk better. So we identified that as the source, and we're using that as one of the flexibility, mobility drills that we do. Another area, for example, is low back pain. You know, a lot of volleyball hitters tend to get low back pain, and even that can go to the point on the spectrum toward even getting a stress fracture. So, again, we looked at that, and we know that trunk and shoulder blade is one of those reasons, and hip flexibility can be one of those reasons as well. We know that volleyballers get a lot of ankle sprains. So oftentimes they can't bend that knee down over the foot very well where they're going down for a dig, which is, retrieving or getting a ball that came over the net and passing that to their setter. Oftentimes they have to get down low for that, and that can be really restricted. If they've injured their ankle before and they can't bend that ankle, they may actually have that heel come off the ground early, and now they're more susceptible to rolling the ankle and having a sprain. So we identify those sources, and that's where we start our program. Functionally, we understand functional biomechanics, so we went back and started them with a program of flexibility to address those things, and then we're going into things like dynamic warm-up programs, and we really think about that like functional movement preparation, teaching them how to be athletic. You know, it's interesting, Greg, that you take a young athlete and they start playing a sport. Let's say they played volleyball for the last 4, 5, 6 years. Some of those kids may have been 8 years old or 10 years old, and they're taking up the sport. And unfortunately, what we see is that sometimes, you know, they get the coaching and they get the skill development, but let's say a kid can't get the ball over the net with quite perfect technique. Well, the option isn't to get the ball, to keep the ball on the same side of the net, right? When they serve, they've got to get the ball over the net. You know, if they struggle keeping good form, passing a serve, they receive the serve defensively to try and pass the serve to their setter. But in good form, they can't quite get it there the right way. The option isn't to just receive the serve and have it pop up in the air and say, well, I missed it. They find a way to make it happen. And oftentimes, as our body, through these younger years of sport development, is finding a way to make it happen, it's really cheating around the tightnesses, the weaknesses, the coordination or agility losses that we have, the things that we lack. And in that process, we appear successful. because they got the ball back over the net, because they did serve it, because they did get the ball to the setter. But in the process, they start ingraining these physical limitations and these cheating ways of moving. And now all of a sudden, we see these girls who are high schoolers who are swinging with their arm in a way that, hey, what happened to their shoulder blade? Why isn't their trunk turned? Why don't they have that ankle mobility? Boy, how are they getting to the ball when they don't have that? Well, somewhere else takes the hit. They may still appear successful from a skill standpoint. You know, she got to the ball. She can still retrieve low balls. She can still hit the ball over the net. But they're not necessarily doing it in the most efficient and effective way, and that's what can lead to breakdown. And even if it doesn't lead to breakdown, it certainly leaves a ceiling effect or a limitation to their how high their performance can get. So we're really going back and helping them with a lot of those athletic functional movement patterns, the diagonal movements, lunges, how to put their feet on the floor so that they can be quick, and helping them move better in those ways.
Well, Mike, you know, that's just absolutely, you know, what you said was, you know, reach their highest performance. Of course, they're reaching their peak performance. And we've been speaking with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, our title sponsor here at Youth Sports Now. And I'm sure we're going to continue this conversation in the coming weeks because Mike's got lots of great great information for us and just wonderful news to hear about this program over at Peak Performance. That about wraps it up for Youth Sports Now on an edited edition a little bit so that we can get to some other action tonight. And we'll talk to you next week on Youth Sports Now.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.